Because
you find out.
You probably get.
Welcome back to the Atlantic Hour.
Welcome back. I'm Eva.
I'm James.
And we've got some very special guests who have both been on our podcast before. Would they like to introduce themselves?
Not again.
Come on, Tom, you go first.
Thomas, 20, University of Birmingham.
You're not, you're 21.
I'm 21.
Well,
it's
from Bromley.
Yeah.
There we go.
I'm Ash, I'm 21 also.
Perfect.
And I go to the University of Birmingham with Thomas, actually.
So we've got a lot of Americans in the studio today.
We do.
So many. We've got an Irish person watching.
He might make an appearance later.
Potentially. Convince him.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about what we're going to discuss today. A lot happened this week.
A lot.
Obviously, it's the final phase of the campaign.
It's getting close. How many days?
10.
I can look up. Yeah, the official countdown whilst you take us through.
So we are going to be talking about the closing argument of both Trump and Harris's campaign. We're going to have another long look at the polls and discuss in depth their respective paths to the White House. We are going to be talking about some nuances of their campaigning. So Trump getting Elon Musk to bat for him.
Harris using the F word.
I didn't see that, but
no, you know what? Okay, anyway, that was a poor joke on my part.
And we are also going to be talking about how important young voters will be in the upcoming election.
Yeah.
So, do you want to kick off?
Yeah, so you've got 10 days, 13 hours, 29 minutes and 7 seconds until election day.
Precise.
So it's getting close. Should we make some predictions?
Why don't we start with Tom?
Tom, do you have any predictions?
No, because my prediction's coming true.
So Tom thinks that two major newspapers, The Economist and The New York Times, agree with his prediction.
The Economist does agree with my prediction.
The New York Times doesn't. I did
I've been speaking to them. I've been on the phone with them. they're going to change it soon.
Okay.
They heard my opinions. They know what I'm about. They're ready.
Do you want to just remind
my prediction is that Kamala will win the popular vote, but Donald Trump will win because he'll probably get the swing states he needs.
Yeah.
And that is becoming more and more likely.
And which swing states do you think those will be?
Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And some of the other ones.
Very specific.
What are the swing states, Thomas?
Georgia. I think you'll get that one.
Yeah, so Georgia and Arizona are the ones that, like, it looks like Trump's running away with
a little bit. Yeah. Mm. And the swing states, which Harris did have a somewhat strong hold of a couple of weeks ago, she's still in the lead.
Yeah,
we're
talking about Wisconsin and Michigan.
Yeah.
So that leaves North Carolina and Nevada in play.
Predictions?
I think she'll win North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I think she'll win Nevada.
I think she'll
win Pennsylvania, I'll be real.
Oh.
Mm.
I think she'll just win
win it.
I think it'll be really, really close, and I think there'll be a recount. Probably a couple recounts.
What do you think?
Yeah. If you're in Pennsylvania right now, though, you must be thinking, like,
what is going on? Like,
well, I was listening to another podcast where they were saying a lot of those voters don't really care.
Really?
Like, they're not even turning out to vote, so.
Oh. Why?
Because that's always the case. I guess, like, electoral participation is super high.
I feel like she won't win all Nevada, Pennsylvania, North Carolina. I feel like she'll win, like, two. I'm not sure if she'll win
all three. She needs two,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
She
really
could win with Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania.
Yeah, ultimately Pennsylvania.
Exactly.
It's the United States of Pennsylvania.
But that's the one where her vote is contracting.
Yes, this is true. Mm. So, What would you like to start with? There's lots.
Let's discuss Elon Musk.
Yes.
Very controversial. Do we think it's legal?
Oh.
No.
Yeah, okay.
apparently, the argument is that you're not. The $1 million is for paying someone to be an ambassador. So it's you're taking on an ambassador role. Mm. And that also by the referral scheme again, it's a salary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the argument for it. But I reckon, especially if Trump doesn't win, it will go to court, and I think they might get in trouble for it. But that's the way it's being framed at the minute, is that it's the $1 million is a salary for being an extra special ambassador for the Trump campaign. But it's not paying someone to sign up to Trump. It's to vote for Trump. It's paying someone to support a petition for to protect First and Second Amendment rights for his mm-hmm. super PAC, America PAC.
Okay.
But yeah, it's interesting. It, yeah.
They're two peas in a pod, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. But are they?
Oh.
I guess.
Conspiracy theory.
No. The question is, because I was talking to someone about this the other day, is that who is using who?
I think that's a good.
Because I think that's a really good question. Because is Elon Musk a genius? And
yes.
He's basically winning the campaign, like the amount of money he's giving. Is he basically winning the campaign for Donald Trump, making him eternally in his debt? Or is Donald Trump using a stupid billionaire who's obsessed with his sort of macho attitude, which is what he's sort of saying is the reason he likes Trump? But that's a weird question. I think it's maybe a mix of the two. I think there's a lot on. I think the most important thing for Elon Musk is obviously Chinese electric cars,
yeah.
and the fact that they're becoming more and more affordable and they're spreading to Europe, well, they will be spreading to Europe in the next 5 years. I think Donald Trump's tariff on Chinese products is very important for Elon Musk.
So you think it's like a kind of
dependent relationship? Yeah, I think
they both need each other.
Yeah, I think it's less one's using the other, I think.
Oh, it's quite cute.
Yeah, I know, it's
quite
nice
sweet.
That way.
Brotherhood.
But I also think that if Trump wins, or when Trump wins, I think they're going to fall out pretty quickly.
I think
this Department of Government Efficiency or whatever he's been promised, that's not going to last.
It's going to be another J.D. Vance.
It's also going to be another Trump cabinet, isn't it? Like, he'll...
They'll
all go... I can't believe the Democrats haven't used that more as well.
Mm.
Like, why don't they... If they got all of Trump's cabinet to, like, an event, and like, most of them would probably turn up to go, like, this guy's not up for it.
Do you think?
Yeah, like, not... Yeah. Not, like, they're all gone. Like, most of them weren't Republicans anyway.
Yeah.
Like... It's I think that's quite a powerful statement, because is it true none of them lasted? Did any of them last the full term?
I think definitely a few did, more to the point though, do voters really care whether these people are now against Trump and like espousing rhetoric which says that he's unhinged? Because Trump supporters are so loyalist that anyone could say anything and they would still vote for their candidate.
But you're not targeting Trump supporters, you're targeting Republicans, I guess is the question. Because like you've got the core of Trump supporters, but that's not big enough to win an election. You've got the core of Republican supporters, and I guess you've got people who are always going to vote Republican no matter what, but you've got that little side group who are like, who usually vote Republican, aren't huge fans of Trump and want reasons not to vote for him. And that's who the Democrats are trying to get at, I guess.
But I feel like the Harris campaign's given a lot of reasons not to vote for him anyway. Like, every time there's, like, Mark Milley, now John Kelly, like, they always pick up on it and they always play it up. So I'm just thinking, how many more reasons do you need not to vote for Trump at this point? Liz Cheney's up on stage with Kamala Harris at every other event.
I want to touch on that real quick. So... The main strategy Harris is using is she's sort of, every time she's asked this question, she talks less about her policies and more about Donald Trump's policies. So it's like,
backfiring.
Yeah.
Right there.
So the question is she defining herself by her opponent? And I think, is that a good strategy? Because she's sort of neglecting, people still don't know about her. We've said this throughout the podcast. People aren't sure about her strategies. And I think one of the main reasons is because whenever she's asked, you know, she's asked about immigration, she's asked about the economy. It's always like, well, look what Trump did.
On that, just like we were saying last week, I think her campaign realized there's no more need for her to do that, because you can't paint a picture of who you are in 10 days. Like, I think they realized that people are going to understand what Harris is like if she gets in office. The more effective strategy now is to just show what a candidate people know and have been interacting with for over a decade is really like, if they've forgotten. And I think some voters are forgetting what Donald Trump could actually do to this country.
Well, I saw, when I was reading an article the other day, a video of Mike Pence, who the viewers don't know, was the former Vice President of the United States under Trump's administration, coming out and saying that when the Capitol riots started happening, that Donald Trump actually asked him to pick him over the Constitution of the United States.
That is true.
And from then on, he was like, this person is not fit to run the country. And that's his own vice president.
Well, there's a lot of coverage of January 6th. And then making a phone call to the White House and saying, look, like, what you're asking Mike Pence is likely going to put him in huge jeopardy. And there are people coming to the Capitol now because he wouldn't sign off on the fact that the, like, he said that the electoral count was correct, like, inciting riots. And Trump said about Mike Pence, so what? In terms of the threat on his life.
Mm.
And that's your own vice president. So clearly there is no bounds
to what Trump
will do.
But that's an interesting question, though.
And to circle back to Tom's point as well. Sorry.
It's okay, don't worry.
I feel like at the drop of a hat, Trump would, like, squash Elon Musk if he wanted to. It's literally just a device to get what he wants.
All these things he's done, like RFK Jr., Elon Musk, like, they're all getting these special jobs that it's not going to last.
Yeah.
Like, RFK Jr. especially, because he would be so anti-Trump if he didn't get this job out of it. Like,
Sorry, Ash. Before James didn't do his co-host duties, what was the important question?
Well, what I think is...
Well, I was going to ask, in the event that Trump loses the election, I know, Thomas, you don't think this is a possibility, do we think it will be a peaceful transition of power?
Well, this is something that a lot of people have discussed.
Mm.
Will Trump make a massive fuss, or will he go quietly?
Exactly.
I don't think that's enough to sway the vote. I don't think people are going to vote for Trump just because they're scared of what he'll do afterwards. People, I don't know if he will go as far as he did in 2021, January 6th. I don't think he'll go peacefully if he loses. But then you also have the lawsuit later in November, which is something which he could, like, factor into his decisions. I know James thought he would go kind of peacefully last time I spoke to you about this.
Yeah, well, just an interesting side point on that. So Harris is asked by Hallie Jackson on NBC this week if she got elected, whether she would pardon Trump. And she clearly sidestepped the question. So I feel that the ramifications, if Trump doesn't get elected, could be more serious than people think, because I think that the Democrats realize that Trump is a significant threat and they don't want to see that play out again. So they will take steps to silence him quickly if...
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, as Ash was saying, we're not going to get a clear answer on the night as to whether Trump or Harris has won. But I think one thing that's almost certain is that the Trump campaign are going to say they've won on November 5th.
Yeah.
So no, that creates big
of
problems.
Them losing in their eyes.
Yeah.
I think the Democrats would say.
In Trump's eyes, I'm not sure about the rest of his.
I think the Democrats would say wait for the count.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I
would like to know. I'm not entirely sure that what you said earlier about Kamala's campaign is right. I think there needs to be more of her. Like, do you remember? In the UK, we had they called it the Ming-Vas strategy with Keir Starmer, where, like, he basically just went, the Tories have been bad for 14 years, vote for me, but he didn't really say what he was doing.
Yeah, you're defining yourself on your opponent.
But he could do that because everyone hates the Tories. like ultimately the Conservative Party in the United Kingdom would have not been very popular over the last 14 years.
The thing is, I think in the UK, and this is quite a generalisation, but for the not for the most part, but more often than not, it's pretty certain which party is going to win. Like our previous election, which just happened, it was clear Keir Starmer and the Labour Party were going to win.
Yeah, no, but that's the point. Though, like, I feel like Kamala's running quite a similar campaign in that, but she hasn't got the massive buffer of like everyone hates this guy. It's not. I don't think it's working. I think, like, ultimately she needs to prove two things: that she's going to be strong on the economy and strong on immigration. I don't think she's proved either of them.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Trump's the immigration guy and the business guy, and that unfortunately helps him over her, who has to prove, because ultimately she proves that she's different from Biden.
Yeah.
But also Biden's. If you're a Biden fan or a Democrat, you just go, oh no, I actually want a continuation of Biden, I've been doing well here. So she's in this awful position that it's difficult to get out of, where she's just fighting a guy who's got the reputation of someone that she probably needs, or maybe even does have, if you look at the record of their government.
So speaking of Harris defining herself on Trump, so in response, so John Kelly, Trump's chief of staff, basically compared Trump to like a Hitler figure and kind of called him a fascist. And she was asked outside her Washington, her vice president residence in Washington DC, she defined Trump as someone who certainly falls into the general definition of fascists. And when asked whether she thinks Trump is a fascist, she said yes. Sorry, there's going to be an ad playing.
You quoted
General I'll play a little clip.
General Milley calling Donald Trump a fascist. You yourself have not used that word to describe him. Let me ask you tonight, do you think Donald Trump is a fascist?
Yes, I do.
So, what are our opinions on... what are our opinions on Harris using the F word?
I think that's a bit unfair, maybe. Well, I've done a course on fascism here, and like the guy who leads it is sort of quite. He does sort of make sly jokes that Donald Trump might be a fascist. He sort of talks about how, like, you know, he hadn't seen a fascist leader since 2016 and all that. He's not a big Trump guy.
Can you define?
No, that's the whole point of fascism. You can't. It's a pseudo ideology.
As soon as I look at fascism, it just comes up with Mussolini. So as you can, Mussolini and Adolf Hitler.
Well, the thing is that they've got quotes from Trump saying Hitler did some good things.
Yeah.
So if
you've got quotes from Kanye saying that as well.
Okay, and there's a reason why Kanye's not sitting in the White House right now.
He's not a fascist.
Wait, well, didn't Kanye try and run? Didn't he think he was going to run for president?
He did run for. He ran. In certain districts in the last election, he got like 20,000 votes.
Did Kim vote for him?
I don't know if he ran in where they were from.
Anyway.
He's definitely got fascist qualities, because obviously populist.
So this is the definition: is fascism is a far-right authoritarian and ultra-nationalist political ideology and movement characterised by a dictatorial leader, centralised autocracy, militarism, forcible suppression of opposition, belief in natural social hierarchy, yada yada yada.
I'd say he definitely falls into
that.
Yeah, he wants to tune out media organisations that don't agree with him. He wants to punish political adversaries.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to round up people in the country who he believes shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And
we've seen this before.
Do mass deportation. So that sounds pretty fascist to me.
Yeah. It's the modern day fascist leader, which is...
It's pretty terrifying, though, if Thomas's predictions are correct.
Yeah, and at the same time, he wants to destroy the checks and balances in the American Constitution, which in and of itself is a shocking thing.
I think we have been president before and he didn't do any of that.
No, but I feel like the effects of...
This would be his last term.
Yeah.
So yeah,
might get a bit crazy.
But I think
we're still...
You can say you're going to do 1,000 things in power, but like... The American system makes it very difficult to do anything.
Okay, but just on your point, Tom, like, as we were saying in a previous episode, you've got a judiciary with 6 conservative justices, 3 of the most fervent of which Trump handpicked, and there's potential for him to pick more in his next term. You can see, and also, every single ruling they've made since Trump was in office and left office has been in his favour. There hasn't been a single decision that has been against him, really.
They dismissed quite a lot of his cases after the election. Like, his calls to get the election redone.
Yeah, okay, like, beyond that, I feel like there's even things that they can't condone.
I feel like there's nothing Trump won't try and do to try and gain ultimate power.
Exactly.
And I think he could rewrite some laws, you know, you never know. Like, I just think it's... I'm thinking from a position of foreign policy, I genuinely think if Trump gets in, it's going to be an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
I have to agree with that. Thomas, do you have your opinions on your hero?
I would just say, you know, devil's advocate. There were no war. No, genuinely, there were no major international conflicts when Trump was president.
It's because he's besties with Putin, isn't that what he said?
Yeah, even though Putin now supports Harris, apparently.
Yeah.
Clearly didn't work. Yeah.
Israel supports Trump.
Is that true?
Netanyahu wants to try, like, secretly.
Oh, yeah, well.
Secretly.
But Netanyahu has also been declared as a war criminal.
Yeah. But, you know, can't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, he might be a lovely guy. We don't matter.
I don't think he is.
Come on the podcast, Netanyahu. We can pick up.
Well, they're all going on the podcast now. No, but, like, genuinely, like...
Who's they?
Like, they're all of the...
fascists.
Presidential candidates. Like, they're all trying to target this...
Call your daddy.
Me and you, James. Or just you, actually. the young male audience. That's why they're all going on these podcasts.
Joe Rogan experience.
Yeah,
Trump is on today.
On some of them.
Yeah, and Kamala was on Call Her Daddy.
Yeah.
What did we think about that? Because the American public took it very...
I should have just put in that I lived in a Pennsylvania residence and, like, upset the system.
I don't think that one vote means... Also, that's electoral
fraud. Well, Trump could come and catch me for that one, I can't lie.
Oh, dear.
Send your details to his secret police service.
Yeah, but it's fine, Eva's got him on speed dial.
Yeah, I do, he keeps on texting me. No, seriously, last time we spoke. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, should we just really quickly touch on Trump's New York rally?
The one in Madison Square Garden?
Yeah.
Should I go? I don't think I'm going to go.
Okay.
However...
No, go and then come back and tell us.
But,
yeah.
Like, so
I'm gonna get killed,
I think that's going to be the last major rally Trump does.
Mm-hmm.
Harris is doing a rally at the Ellipse, which is significant because it's the same spot where Trump incited the riot on January 6th. So I think the symbolism of that is quite good.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like, in defining herself in opposition to Trump. As we've said, I'd like to see her also, like, say what she's going to do for the country at that moment. Because it'd be a very, like... metaphorical turning the page idea, and I feel like that could reach a lot of people in the home stretch. She's also getting the Obamas out,
Obamas here, they're everywhere.
Obamas.
Leave them alone,
like, let them live. Like,
this life.
Every single YouTube ad I get, it's Obama. Every
Look, Obama's still shoring up his legacy. He's trying to... So at the moment, according to the C-SPAN rankings, Obama's the 10th best president of the United States.
Who's the first?
Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard to top that, like, ending slavery. Yeah, okay, but
it's a bit of a nuanced view. Okay, anyway, that's not the point. Fine.
I mean, they've got Jefferson in the top 10, and he owns slaves, so...
Yeah, Sally is slave.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is getting into a weird subject.
I think he's
history.
Just trying to, like, make sure he can be top 5, ultimately. And, like, both Obama and Biden's legacy is going to be, like, helped by them getting Harris in. But the one person, like...
Biden's legacy is done by Harris getting in.
You see, if Trump gets in, Biden's whole presidency was a write off.
Biden's whole presidency is a write off anyway. They've literally the Democrats have written it off. Like, they've literally just decided everything you did, Kamala Harris did that. Yeah,
but at the same time, Biden's very existence.
He doesn't know he was president, so it's fine.
Is good for the Democrats, because he's the only man so far who's been able to stop Trump.
Yeah.
Oh, I miss him.
True.
So, looking, even though, where is he?
He's looking very
he's
cool.
He's in an alternate
moment.
Universe.
Have you seen him? He's looking. He's got his shades on. And he's like meeting all these people. He's going to rap. He's looking very cool.
Yeah,
he's
about to lose his job.
He's probably blind. They're probably prescription.
Apart from the fact that Harris Lampay is trying to hide him from every single rally.
He just needs to protect.
I was saying because they were
from what?
Actually, no. I know.
Sorry, Ash.
Biden was said when he's. Supported Kamala initially, that he would be showing up and showing out for support for Kamala, but throughout her campaign he's been very, very quiet.
So they've written off his presidency.
Well, like. He's made headlines not for the best reasons. Biden is set to apologise to Native Americans at Indian boarding schools. Is what Biden's currently struggling with.
So he's got his plate full then, doesn't he?
For the next 10 days.
That's Prince Charles going around.
Well, no, he's still going to be slavery, so. President all the way until January. So.
The King Charles, actually.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know my own age or the king of my own country.
God save
But you do know about American politics, which is why
so
you're
much
here.
About American politics.
And he knows his own opinions, which is always good. Do you? What did you get?
A star.
Oh. For our American listeners.
That's like a 4.0 GPA. Anyway,
should we talk about the roads to the White House?
Oh, that was
quite
narrow.
Grass on the other side.
Did you actually find that funny?
So, at the moment, Harris has in the bag 226 electoral votes. Trump has 219. They need 270 to win. So, here's how it could pan out. With Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Nevada, and Michigan, Harris hits 276. Trump, with North Carolina, Georgia, and Arizona, hits 262. With all seven, which is obviously unlikely, Trump would hit 312. Harris stays at 226. If Harris got North Carolina as well, 292, 246. I mean, I don't know why they haven't got another one for Trump here. I guess if Trump gets Georgia, Arizona, has anyone got a calculator actually?
Yeah, go on.
And Pennsylvania. So that's. We're just doing some maths.
I also have a maths A-level.
What did you get in your maths
A-level? A star as
well. Well, then why can't you do the mentals on this?
What was the third subject?
He's
mystery.
Lying.
He didn't
what
did you get in that?
A star.
Did you actually?
Yeah, but I didn't get any star
How many
in maths.
Centimeters?
Oh, what did you get in it? What did you get in maths?
2.5. I got a B in maths.
That, for our American
That's
listeners,
like
that
a
2.0.
Okay, so even with those two and Pennsylvania, Trump would hit 265, so that's not enough. So he needs four of the swing states to win, which is not an easy ask.
No, it's not.
And out of those four, what other ones could he really take?
So Nevada is even, basically, with Harris with a slight lead. Michigan's very close. Wisconsin's very close. Pennsylvania's very close.
The way I see it is Wisconsin and Michigan will go Harris.
Why?
Just because, like, the polls are showing that lead, and Georgia and Arizona probably will go Trump. So
I think North Carolina's got a Trump lead at the moment.
Yeah.
I think
with those three and Pennsylvania, that is the four he needs.
I think Nevada and Pennsylvania are going to be the two that call it, I think. Because I think those are the closest ones.
If you were to call it now, like, if you were to...
If on election night, once they call out... Wait, say again?
I'm just going to stop speaking.
James, I have a question for you. If you were to call it right now, what would you say?
Do you support women's voices?
Sorry.
Of course
answer,
I do.
You can answer Tom's question.
Which was your question.
Yeah, it was mine.
I think that Harris could edge it.
You think that she will?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thomas? Putting bias aside. Sorry, Thomas is having
he's
a
crying.
Moment.
My it's the Massey level. It's haunted him.
And the reason I say that is...
he's turned around.
Because... I feel like she has more states in play.
Yes.
Anyway, moving on from silliness in the studio.
Yeah.
Actually, no. Moving from silliness in the studio to silliness in a fast food chain.
Yes. Mm.
It was a good photo op.
It was a very good photo op. Have you seen that McDonald's is now getting a lot of criticism?
No.
Everyone's like... Why would you, like, everyone's just like, no, like, that wasn't very coherent. But basically, that specific McDonald's shop is getting a lot of hate.
Well, did you hear that, I was listening to another political podcast, and one of the guys on there said he tried to do it when he was a politician, and he couldn't, because he didn't have the correct health and safety training. So did Donald Trump have the correct health and safety training?
You're saying
so
Trump's
worked
at McDonald's. So basically...
That's what ends up going to prison.
Trump was at McDonald's because... Harris said that while she was a student at Howard University in Washington, D.C., she worked at McDonald's. And then afterwards, when she was applying to law schools, she didn't put that she worked at McDonald's on her CV. And so Trump said, well, then you clearly didn't work at McDonald's.
And McDonald's don't have a record of her working there, but also I think there's a reason for that. Mm.
It was the 1980s.
Yeah.
So Trump was like, well, I'm going to go to McDonald's and show everyone that I'm... with the people. It was a very good photo opportunity. I'm not really sure what he was trying to achieve with that, slash where he found the time to fry some fries.
Apparently he was only there for 25 minutes, so not too taxing.
Well, apparently the fries were good.
And they closed for the whole day.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, so there were no customers?
Well, they're not real customers.
Yeah, it was very convenient.
It's like chicken shop dates.
Yeah.
Mm. Everyone likes chicken shop dates.
Everyone loves chicken shop dates. Maybe Trump should go on chicken shop dates.
I would vote for him so much more.
God, I'm actually, this side is a joke, and now I'm actually convinced that Tom would vote Trump.
Oh, he absolutely would.
It's become a theme.
It has.
For all the viewers listening, he has Donald Trump socks.
Given to him by the woman who just said that statement.
Yeah.
I don't recall.
It's got
all
a little comb.
Tom has also visited Trump Tower
twice
recently.
Tom, would you like
whilst wearing the Trump socks, actually?
Yeah, I'm just invested in American politics.
Would you like me to buy you any merch?
Yeah, can I get a hat, please?
Because
I think it might be the last time
I can
get one.
Would you like a signed MAGA hat?
Yes, please. A gold one.
Not a dark.
Oh, there's a dark signed one and then a gold one.
The gold one, please.
Anyway, beside the point.
But as a good segue, I think stunts like that are designed to appeal to younger voters,
mm-hmm.
which is what we are talking about. Especially, they're saying young ethnic minority voters is the vote that Trump's trying to carry.
Yes.
And those people don't usually turn out in elections.
Mm-hmm.
So,
especially for Republicans.
I actually do have a soundbite for this, I'll let you continue.
Sorry, no, I was going to ask how Trump is going to try and... What message he's going to put across to those voters?
Well, he is securing more of them.
What's he saying to make them want to?
I think he appeals. We know he appeals more to young men in general.
Yes.
So yeah, I think he's just appealing to more.
Yeah, I think
a wider
like
range
doing stuff
people.
Like Joe Rogan and
yeah,
this like
mm-hmm.
publicity stunt
I
is
think out of that
to...
group. Biden carried 85% of the young African American males, and I think Kamala's only carrying 70% at the minute.
Okay,
so I've got some young African-American males at Georgetown speaking here.
I think like you could make a distinction between like our vote individually mattering and the 18 to 25 vote mattering.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could say for me, I'm like a New York resident, so my particular vote does not matter very much because the state's going to turn blue anyway.
Yeah.
But you could also argue that, like, well, Kamala's, like, significantly less popular than men, so that's also another thing to consider. But I would say, like, generally, yeah, the 18 to 25 vote definitely matters. I don't necessarily think that means that every person who's 18 to 25 has an equally important vote.
Yeah, I think, like he spoke about, I think it's, like, very state-based. So, for example, like, I didn't really ask most of my friends from Democratic states like California, New York, got their ballots or whatever, but from Georgia, where I'm from, I know it's a purple state, so I'm checking constantly, okay, like, I feel like my vote does matter, not because of my age necessarily, but where I'm from.
Yeah.
I understand that our generation is a little bit more motivated, because we're more into narratives with social media being, you know, a big part of this election.
Mm. Okay, interesting. So there's, like, a concept of, like, kind of, like, a Gen Z attitude that, because we're exposed to so much social media, like, cast your vote. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm getting so many emails about, like, casting your vote and et cetera, et cetera, which we don't get in the UK at all. Like, you're not nearly as, like, told, like, it's not pushing your face nearly as much.
But I think the attitude's still quite similar, especially in the UK and the US, the guy, when he was talking, like, oh, I live in New York, so they point me, I know what's going to happen. Like, most people in the UK are very similar.
I think it's still important to vote, but...
You know, it's important to vote, but, like, I know that... Actually, my constituency in the UK has been Conservative ever since it was created.
Really?
And, like, the last election was actually only 200 vote different, but it still went Conservative.
Yeah.
But, like, I think a lot of people I know just don't bother because, like, they know that the Conservatives are going to win.
Both of you raised a good point, though, which is... Not everyone's thinking like us. We're a group of politically engaged young people, but a lot of students on this campus don't really care that much about politics. I'm surprised by the fact that it's almost a week until the election, and I haven't heard many people talking about
the election.
Yeah, the result, what it's going to mean for them.
Yeah.
So if that's reflected more broadly across Gen Z Americans, then I think it is good for Trump and Harris to push hard to try and get those voters out there.
Yeah.
Because maybe some of them aren't thinking that much about the election.
Yeah.
The most common thing I've heard is, I'd agree with you, James, is I'm not voting in the election, but if I was going to vote, I'd vote for this person or this person.
Well, why don't you just vote?
Which makes no sense. But also, the most common thing that I've heard, and I'm interested to hear your opinions on it, not so much Thomas's, but it's the most common point for Trump, I would say, amongst young supporters I've heard at this campus, is the economy was so much better under Trump. Like, Trump's financial policies are the one, he's a businessman, he knows what he's doing, Kamala Harris isn't going to have a clue. Do you agree that the economy was a lot better under Trump?
Until the end, it was better, but it wasn't as good as Biden has it now. Like,
I think
they're praising the American economy a lot right now.
I think just because Trump had such a clear plan for the economy, and Harris has fallen short of delivering that plan. Like, really, Trump's main thing is the economy. Mm. And to be honest, that is something which affects your daily life. Like, you know, abortion is a massive issue, but it doesn't affect everybody's daily life. The economy will always affect, like, daily life. So I think that's a massive thing you have to, like, that's, like, one, that's the biggest thing I think you have to push, and I don't think Harris has really done that. So I think what will sway people towards Trump is that, you know, he's got experience with a somewhat strong economic plan. He might be slightly loony now, but at least he kind of, you know, is confident in that, whereas Harris is not so much. Which I think if you're on the border, that could, sorry, border's probably not the border. If you're on the fence, that could sway. But
I also think that being in Connecticut is probably not the greatest place to gauge, like, political activity in young people.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, I think it's a thing that we don't have in the UK, and it is a big thing here, especially in swing states, is sort of vote mobilisation movements. Like, there are lots of efforts in swing states, in like Georgia or someplace, like, to, they physically, like, bus groups of people into polling stations. Like, that won't happen here because the Republicans aren't going to put that much into it. They know what's going to happen here. But, like, I reckon, like, if we were in, you know, University of Georgia, University of UPenn, I reckon there'll be a lot much greater movement to move students, to get students to vote, to move them to the polling stations. So I think that maybe just being here slightly sways our attitude towards like young people's participation.
True.
See, I should have been allowed to speak.
True.
Is that all we've got for this week, or
we can talk about, this is like a very like short topic, but what I found interesting was, and I've discussed this with people on the podcast, people are disrupting the voting of the like the early ballots. So the Phoenix police have arrested a man suspected of setting fire to a mailbox where there were mail-in ballots. Basically these were damaged, so, but voters have since received a new ballot. But I think it's slightly mental that people are setting fire and trying to destroy people's votes. Testament to kind of how dramatic this election is. And there are also, in Colorado, there was a ballot fraud where 12 ballots were filled out and returned before voters even got them, and this has been deemed as election fraud. I'm not really sure what we want to say about that, but I think it's a slightly interesting point to put across that people want to intercept.
I think it just shows the level of political distress in the country around this specific election. Like, tensions, everyone's gonna
tensions.
Take a chill pill in December, it's Christmas, like people can
Let's
like
hope.
Sit in their pajamas, well, unless like
it depends who gets in,
there's another insurrection in January, a December surprise. Only one of us is going to be in the country during that period, so I'll let you guys know
back.
What's... Oh, are you going to...
Once I know the location...
Be on
you
the
can come
cover
to
of...
New York, where I'll be, and we can hit it off at the Capitol.
Yeah,
right?
You'll see
exactly.
Tom on the front cover of the New York
magazine. You'll see Tom in the Viking hat in the Capitol.
I've already been doing some raccoon hunting just to sew my costume together.
Is that... Speaking of, is that what you're going as for Halloween?
No, it's not. It's not. I'm going as for Halloween.
Who are you going as Halloween?
He's obviously
Elon
going
Musk.
As Donald Trump. Oh,
yeah. No,
okay.
No. Ash is going as Donald Trump.
You're the Musk to her Trump. That's
yeah.
going to be the new duo.
Yeah.
Stop.
Wear a t-shirt
and
do that
one.
Me, Freddie, and Ruby. If you see three Donald Trumps walking around campus on Halloween.
You know what that means? We need three Kamala Harrises.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll be one.
How are you going to do that, Tom?
With a great attitude.
You're just going to laugh and smile.
She's going to be a joyful warrior, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
She's got some good outfits. Besides the point.
You could be Kamala.
All right. So, I think that
once.
About wraps it up for this week. Next week, we are going to be delivering our final episode before the election.
Oh, okay.
Crazy.
Can't be scared there.
With just... 3 days to go until either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris will be the next I guess it might take a little bit longer, but
yeah,
but the next
that will be our final episode.
We'll be talking about, I guess, their respective closing statements.
Yes. Final predictions.
Yeah.
Polls. Any drama that occurs in the next week, because I'm sure there will be something.
I'm sure.
And I will tell you guys firsthand what it was like to be in a polling booth.
Yes, you will. That's very exciting.
I'm about to participate in the great American experiment myself.
Experiment. Yes.
I think that's a apt word for this election.
An experiment. Interesting.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, guys.
Thanks for having us.
See you
Bye.
Next time.
See ya.